Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on The Score.
Joe is on the northwest side. Hey, Joe, you're on The Score.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. The general manager, if he was in the military, he would have been relieved for cause at this point. And I'm serious as a heart attack when I say that.
All right, at least you don't think he would have been put down.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to draw military comparisons and hold him in front of the tribunal and
football mister
and get the judge advocate general involved and all that stuff.
In terms of contract that came out while we were on break, as I've always said, I'm not going to get into details of that. I'll open up to questions.
I'm not through with my examination. Sit down. I'm a lawyer and an officer in the United States Navy. And you're under arrest, you son of a...
Here's how bad things are for the Bears, okay? Yeah. It's so bad that I got a text from Fells, from Sam Fells this morning. And he was like, hey, man, just whenever you guys want to talk some hockey. And I was like,
nope.
How dare you?
Oh, boy.
How dare you, sir?
This is not the time to do hockey.
Wait, aren't the Hawks kind of in the same position? They got a guy with
number one
pick?
I don't like that. Sam, you're smelling blood in the water.
Sometimes that sharky looks right into you, right into your eyes. You know the thing about a shark, he's got lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eye. When he comes at you, he doesn't seem to be living until he bites you. And those black eyes roll over white and then...
You're a hockey shark smelling bear's blood in the water.
Hockey shark.
Hockey.
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
All right, that's it on the Hawks and the Cubs, damn it.
Wait a minute.
Anyway, we delivered the bomb.
The official adventures of...
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We got a lot of stuff that we got to get done today. The crew is here. Alex, Tanny, they're both looking good. Doing well. That man is Jason Leisure.
Hello.
Because Spiegs is off today.
But and what a job by Leisure.
What a job indeed.
Yeah.
By Leisure. You're going to go see the White Sox tonight, right?
I am. I found out I was going to go. I found that out. My dad and my brother want to go to the game tonight. I don't even know who they're playing or if it matters.
It doesn't matter.
We were joking because you've been talking about that you have really gotten back into running. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I got my 3.5 miles in this morning before I came.
I'll be getting mine in after the show.
I really think the White Sox could hold a 5K during a game.
Oh, during the game. Because they do actually do a White Sox 5K every
year. I think on the 100-level concourse during a game, it'd probably be fine.
I mean, it'd be kind of great. They just had Dog Day, right? Wasn't Dog Day a couple days ago? People dressed up their dogs and brought them to the game. I think they do three of those.
I learned that tonight is 108 night.
Okay.
And I learned that... I found out Tanny was going while I was watching the ceremonial Lysol spraying of Matt Spiegel's chair by you.
Yeah, they're playing the Baltimore Orioles tonight.
Baltimore.
And that's all I got for you. I ran into Ryan McGuffey on my morning walk today. So we're out here.
Now, Tanny, we're talking morning runs, bud. That's Little League.
Well, Matt Forte, our 3 o'clock guest, said it's bad for your knees and back.
He got me. Matt Forte is the person who stopped me from running on concrete.
What do you run on then? Do you have a track or something?
There's like a soft path over in Jackson Park. Or on the midway, you can basically just run between Stony and Cottage Grove on grass.
I run on the streets.
I know.
The mean streets of Elgin, baby.
Hey, that's why they have sidewalks. The streets are for everybody. That's one thing you got to learn. Here's what we got planned for you on today's show. Nico Horner is going to join us in about 10 minutes. Nico is chasing a batting title. He's chasing a batting title. And by the way, the National League wild card situation has gotten really interesting. I was yelling at Alex today. I was like, the Diamondbacks and the Giants gave up too quickly. And they're both right there. Diamondbacks are a game and a half out, and the Giants are two games out, and they both gave up. They're like, we'll rebuild and get ready for next year. And they obviously have a chance to be a wild card team. So we'll talk with Nico about all sorts of stuff. Matt Forte is going to join us at 3 o'clock. Just a couple of Tulane guys chopping it up, huh? A
couple guys that played football for the Green Wave.
You did not.
My freshman and sophomore year, sir.
In
intramurals, but still.
So
I'm
now,
sure Matt Forte heard about it.
So wait a minute. What position did you play?
QB, baby.
Okay, so now we got it covered, yeah. Right? In intramurals, we got our center with Spiegs, and now we got you at quarterback.
I was super mobile, too. I was like the white Michael Vick at Tulane intramurals.
Are you left-handed?
Well, no, except for that part.
Okay. All right. So,
well, Jake Plummer action?
But I had the legs.
No, I like
had the
that. Legs. That's good. Yeah, same. They called me Slash back in those days.
Cordell Stewart?
Yeah. Yeah, because I could do a little bit of everything.
Did Cordell Stewart have a cup of coffee with the Bears?
Yeah,
at
he
one
was
point?
The Bears starting quarterback. Yeah. I've got stories. I'll tell you during the break. Matt Bowen joins us at 4 o'clock. He did not go to Tulane. He
fellow
went
bald.
To Iowa. Yes, a fellow bald.
Yeah,
fellow
the bald alliance.
We are here, and we are not going anywhere. Also, we need to have a conversation about whether it's inappropriate to be talking about players' moms. We'll do that later on in the show.
Okay.
I think it probably matters how you talk about them, but we will get to that before. Before we have to take a break, because we have to get ready to talk with Nico, I am curious on what that locker room was like in Detroit on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, man. Not as bad as the last time we were there.
That's a good point.
There wasn't open revolt, at least.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
Progress. The Bears love to talk about things taking these just
incremental
millimeter steps in the right direction, and going from open revolt and mutiny that gets the coach fired the next day to just general dejectedness. Progress. Very quiet. A lot of cursing under breaths. No answers whatsoever about what went on, other than it was really bad, really embarrassing. One of the main questions in the locker room to anybody was, why were the Detroit wide receivers just running freely through the secondary all day? And Kevin Byard is like, yeah, that's usually a breakdown of some kind. It's usually miscommunication or just somebody, you know, a busted coverage. And
Or a lack of pass rush.
That's a part of it, too. I mean, yeah, whenever we get to our segment where we just come up with the list of all the problems with the Bears, you could pretty much just use the flip card for it.
Yeah, they've got some roster issues that need to be addressed, and I'm glad that for the most part, I think people are actually, ordinarily, I don't like the elevation of criticism as like a plain rebuttal of, if we're talking about something that's going on the field, well, you know the real problem is actually, yeah, we know. This is one of those times where that elevation of criticism is warranted. If you want to level up and go, man, this roster looks really bad. Who's in charge of that? And you go, the guy with the extension. Ta-da! And you go, that makes me angry. I understand exactly why it would make you angry, and it will be explored inside of this show. There will be a lot of Bears conversation on the show. So if you're looking for it, we got it. But coming up next, we check in with one of the best guests. I think it's actually fair, now that I've been here for 27 years, I think it's fair to say one of the best regular guests in Score history. I think Nico has had that type of impact. People enjoy listening to him talk about all sorts of stuff, and you don't even have to be a Cubs fan to enjoy him. He's next here on...
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Score.
Benning six, second baseman number two, Nico Hoerner.
Hello, I got places to be. Thinking about Nico, he's got such a multiplicity of skills. He's got a little power. He's a great base runner. He can hit. He's a clutch hitter. Good guy to have on your team.
Man, Nico is awesome. He doesn't give up in a bat. He's a gamer. He's a ball player in the true sense of the word. Definitely premier second baseman in this game.
Just shows up with one idea every day to try to help the Cubs win the game today.
Line drive left field, pretty well struck. That's back. That is off the wall. And Nico towards second. He's around second on his way to third. Here's the throw. Nico has a triple.
And you can never have enough guys with that attitude, Zach.
Great base runner. Excellent with the glove. We were just talking about what he does with a bat in his hands. But you're right. So many skills.
There's a fly ball left. Nico Horner stands up on one. Wood goes back and it's gone. Horner drives out his sixth of the year.
Guys, Nico Horner has joined the club. There are seven players in the majors that have a batting average of 300 or better. And Nico now one of them after extending his hitting streak to 10 with a single in the third. Nico's batting 300.
Good ball players come in all shapes and sizes in baseball, right? Your shape and size hasn't been all that popular these days, but it's pretty effective.
What are you saying, Bruce?
Exactly what I said, yeah.
I like my shape.
Nico Horner on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
I like that Nico is being body positive. Nico Horner on The Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of asterisk-free checking. More at Huntington.com/your money. Nico now joins us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Spiegs is off today. Jason Leisure is in the building for Spiegs. Nico is now on the air as the Cubs get ready to take on the Pirates tonight. Nico, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. What's this like being in a chase to win a batting title?
I mean, it doesn't change the day-to-day prep or anything like that. It would be a really, really fun thing. I'm obviously not trying to play that down at all. It'd be incredibly cool to do, but yeah, it's fun. It's cool to have another just opportunity for excitement and stuff at the end of the year.
So we've talked a lot about like how this season has gone for you personally. And there were times when we would have you on and I go, man, you know, Nico's going through it, but he's fighting through it. How satisfying is it that here we are with a couple weeks left in the season and you've outdone your WAR number, you're in line for a batting title, your team is going to the playoffs? Like, I imagine that if we went rewound to May, I don't know if you would have expected this to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to do too much predicting, especially on the statistical side, but I take a lot of pride in the feeling of improving as the season goes on and making the most of whatever the year has to offer. And, you know, even last year was a really challenging year in a lot of ways, but I was proud of, you know, finishing strong and feeling like I really learned throughout the season and kept chasing the best version of myself. And it's nice when that shows up statistically. It doesn't always, but I think you always have a sense in your gut if you were able to kind of improve as the season went on and learn from good, bad, everything in between along the way. And I do feel like I'm still improving as a player, and nice for that to show up results-wise, but also just in your core kind of sense of yourself. It's a nice feeling.
Nico, Jason Leisure, I'm a football reporter, so excuse the kind of outside perspective here, but can you put into terms for people how hard it is to hit 300 now, as opposed to like when I was a kid in the 90s, you'd have guys hitting 340, 350, mm-hmm. something like that to win the batting title. How hard is that to do now when you have so few guys in the league that are actually at 300 or higher?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I think that question's come up a couple times, and it's an interesting one to reflect on just in like the state of the game now. I think, you know, part of it is what's emphasized to hitters and what's valuable. Part of it is a big part of it is just the raw stuff that pitchers have, and it's hard to get hits. It's the data that the defenders are always standing where you hit the ball, and then you know, there's no real bad defenders out there. So yeah, the odds are kind of stacked against you sometimes. It's kind of always been that way in baseball, with 3 out of 10 being successful. But yeah, in some ways more so now. I think, you know, there are people out there that would argue it's because hitters aren't being taught the right things or whatever, but I think it's a little more than that. yeah, it's challenging, and there's always some randomness and luck involved in batting average, but it would definitely be a cool thing to do.
Yeah, I'm really excited for you, man. Like it's fun to watch that, like as a chase, like a little extra, because I mean, look, you guys are going to the playoffs, so it's not like that's really an issue. But watching some of the individuals, whether it's you striving for something that's league wide or other guys maybe getting back to being themselves. Like you look at last night's game, and you had PCA have a really good night at the plate. You had Bushy had a really good night at the plate, and you guys were walk off with a shutout win against the Pirates. How are things right now with inside that clubhouse with everyone trying to play their best ball leading into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point in that the regardless of standings, every time you take the field in the big leagues, there's a lot at stake and there's purpose behind it. And you know, there is something to feeling good. I mean, I like our group's ability to respond to challenges and things like that. But yeah, of course you want to be feeling good heading into the playoffs and have momentum as a group and for individuals and be in good health. And so these games are incredibly important as we hopefully get towards that. And yeah, like you said, you want the guys to be energized and feeling good and confident. And so there's plenty of stuff that's really important over these last 10 or so games.
To go off Lawrence's question, I mean, you guys are 9 up in the wild card right now. You guys could probably lose out and still make it. So how do you keep the focus from drifting when you're in a scenario where you basically have clinched this early?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes from just consistency, and it can be a little redundant. And I know our responses as athletes are often cliche and boring, but there really isn't a whole lot more you can do other than the day you're in and still looking to improve and having like a growth mindset through a time of year that can be a real trap mentally as far as chasing stats or wanting to finish at this many wins with the team or get this many hits or whatever it may be. Like all the things that got you there in the first place, you weren't operating from that mindset for the most part. And so trying to stay true to that as best you can through the end of the year, I think that's kind of the best example of finishing strong.
It's okay to celebrate this, right? Like we don't have to. I'm a big proponent of winning divisions and that those should be celebrated in a way that we don't these days because everyone gets excited about the tournament. But just making the playoffs, you've gone through this a little bit with the muted celebration in 2020 because things are still so weird. But it's okay for you guys to have a little fun once you actually clinch.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't take it for granted, right? Like you mentioned, I haven't really had a true playoff experience, and part of it because of no fans, but also just the 162 is a totally different feeling to get to the end of and be able to celebrate than a 60-game season. And so, you know, I've been with this team for 6-plus years now and haven't really had that true experience. So I'm definitely not going to be picky how it comes about. I mean, obviously would love for it to be with as the team with the best record in baseball and winning the division and have everything perfectly lined up like that. But you still have to celebrate and appreciate that kind of success because there's a lot of work that goes into it and it's not guaranteed again.
Do you guys talk about that? Like the idea of the regular season versus the postseason? Because I've gotten to a place, Nico, where I'm able to separate them. That I in my mind, I can compartmentalize and go, the team that wins their division or the teams that make the playoffs, like those are the best teams. And the team that wins the World Series isn't necessarily the best team because of the amount of variance that goes into what happens inside of a playoff series.
So separating regular season success and the playoffs?
Yeah, like it just as a fan of the game, like that's why I've been on this whole crusade about celebrating winning divisions is because it's so random what can happen in the playoffs and the way that it's set up. You run into two good pitchers and you're out. That doesn't mean that the season was a failure. To me, they're two separate things. I guess that's kind of what I'm saying. That these are, to me, they're two separate things. Whatever happens through 162 versus the tournament.
Yeah, I could see that. I think the 162 is, you know, as a number and like a true test of players that I think peer-to-peer we really respect of each other, guys that are playing, you know, 150-plus games and out there every single day, and the same goes for teams that are consistent over that entire stretch. And so there's a level of respect for that. Then I, at the other hand, I think, you know, players and teams that are able to rise, and whether it's randomness or it factor or whatever you want to call it, to rise to the challenges of the playoffs. And I haven't experienced that yet, but, you know, from everything I've heard, it is not a different game, but it's a different level of intensity and focus, and the games feel like they're longer just because every pitch is that much more loaded. And so I like to think it's more than randomness at that point. And maybe it's not the very best team every year that wins, but it's definitely not all chance.
Nico, if you had to play analyst for a second, what is the reason that another team should be worried about drawing the Cubs in the playoffs? What is the reason why somebody would say, we don't want those guys?
I think Cade Horton's a big part of that as the front of our rotation. And then having the guys behind him that we do in our rotation, I think we match up really well starting rotation-wise. I think that's always kind of the heart of a team, and especially in a shortened series. I think we've got some serious talent there. And then the defense that we've had has been pretty unwavering for the entire season. And our offense can score runs in a wide variety of ways, especially once we get our full lineup back in there. So you're looking at a team that doesn't have a real weakness on paper and can beat you in a lot of different ways, as well as having Wrigley Field as a true home field advantage, and something that I just can't wait to see. So, or hopefully get to see. Yeah.
Cade Horton will go tonight. Two of the best young pitchers in baseball, Horton versus Skeens. Horton's second half has been incredible. Like, it's what he's done in this has just been incredible. He statistically, he's walking with the Immortals with what he's done. How have you seen him evolve?
It's nice because I feel like he's been able to improve without making things more complicated. He's thrown the changeup more as the year's gone on, and that's a cool development for him to be able to get left-handed batters out. But his fastball is so unique with the life that it has and the cutting action that he can really pitch with his four-seam for most of the game and avoid hard contact for the most part, which is so impressive. And just his maturity in handling the things that have been challenging this year, whether it's an annoying blister or a tough outing or whatever it is, like, he's able to attack the game with emotion and aggressiveness, but also be level-headed when things don't go well. And I think that's just a really great sign for a young player.
Lawrence, I was looking at the numbers here. Nico just has to go 5-for-5 tonight, and he'll jump right up to 305 and catch Trey Turner tonight. Can you just do that?
We can just call it the Arby's game. 5-for-5?
Yeah.
Against Skeens, yeah. Like, that's likely, I think. I think that's that guy, easy to hit.
I think you're being sarcastic, and I think Nico can do it. I think he'll just do it, and then he'll shout it out after. He'll, like, after in post game, he'll be like, "I was really inspired by Lawrence and whoever the other guy was."
Yep, exactly. I'll take that quote.
That's good. Well, how difficult is Skeens, and what's difficult about him?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, when he was coming up and I hadn't faced him, and everyone knows, oh, wow, this guy's coming up. He's throwing really hard, you know, throwing 101 miles an hour. But I think his ability to pitch and throw strikes with a variety of pitches, just like you'd want from any starting pitcher, but to do that with elite stuff is really impressive. He's, you know, added some different movement and mix to his repertoire in just a year. And, yes, just seems incredibly steady, as well as having all the, you know, superlatives. So, yeah, obviously one of the best in the game right now.
I know this is going to sound like a really stupid question. I know that before I ask it, Nico.
Great premise.
I know, because baseball is played in the spring, summer, and a little bit in the fall. I feel like over the last month, the weather has been elite. Like, as a viewer of the game, it's been elite. Have you felt that way as a player?
100%. Yeah, it makes the day-to-day a lot easier. Sounds silly, but, like, especially in Chicago, you're dealing with kind of extremes a lot of the time, I guess.
Yes.
And so,
you mean spring?
September as a whole in baseball is a really beautiful month. I feel like we've just been chilling between, like, 65 and 76 degrees for a while now. And when you're not, you know, soaking wet in St. Louis in the middle of summer, or freezing in April, or, you know, those are all parts of the season and part of the challenge of the year. But it is nice to have a little comfort at the end of the year.
The cold in fall is nowhere near as bad for baseball, in my opinion, as the cold
at
the start of the season. The start of the season is horrible.
It's
got
to be paired with excitement, too. You know, it's like you've earned that cold, and it's if you play long enough for the IV to be turning again, it's like, wow, you've really done some things, hopefully. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Nico, you're 28 years old. What is something that you understand in baseball or out of baseball at 28 that you didn't understand when you were 20?
This baseball wise, just like it takes a lot of confidence to do less before the game. And, you know, working hard is kind of the bare minimum. And that, you know, just understanding what you need is, takes time, but is really valuable. So I think 7 or 8 years ago, I'd be pretty surprised with like what my pregame is like right now, but I think it's a product of being just more confident in my abilities and, things like that.
That's interesting because I think all of us have in our mind what working harder is in sports, and the idea of learning how to work hard. When do you think that clicked for you, and what were the examples that you got that you were like, yeah, I was doing this, but this actually makes more sense for me to do?
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes from watching older players and guys that have had success or guys that, you know, have achieved what you want to do in the game, which for me was when I came up was the ability to play every single day, be able to be penciled in the lineup and produce at a high level against every kind of pitcher and do that year after year. And the guys who I saw doing that took care of themselves, but they weren't killing themselves every day pregame with like crazy workouts or extra swings or it's more about the intention of it all. And obviously there's a time and place to work hard with intention and really grind on stuff. But for the most part, there's a lot of trust and ability and letting that play out in the game and taking care of your mind and still figuring that out. I don't have the answers at all, but I feel like I'm in a better place than I was 3 or 4 years ago with it all.
I think that you probably have figured a lot of stuff, at least for yourself, like maybe not game wide, but for yourself, like you figured out what works and just the grind of a 162 game season. That's why I'm always impressed with guys who get better. Like watching what's happened with Matt Shaw, like it's hard to improve inside of a season. Like if you need to make changes, doing that with the pressure of a season, I think is crazy.
Yeah, but it makes you so much more confident in a young player, regardless of what the whole season looks like at the end of the year. Just when you have a sense that, wow, like if you think back to who they were in April and May, like by the end of the year, they've really come a long way. I feel like we saw that with Miguel Amaya in the past. We saw that with Pete last year. We've seen it with Matt this year, Cade this year. Like it's a reflection of personality and perseverance and ability to take on challenging things and then learn from them, and just gives you a lot of confidence in them as people too.
To further that point, I'm going to ask you a question about a player on the other side of town. Did you hear what the White Sox did with Colson Montgomery? Where basically,
no, I haven't.
So what they did was they stopped him from playing in the minor leagues, and they were like, "The at bats are great, but we need to go work on stuff." So they sent him to Arizona, and they sent him to basically hit school, and then they corrected whatever it is that they needed to correct. He's come back, and he's a 3 WAR player in 200 at bats. Coming back and hitting a bunch of home runs. And I thought that was a very risky and interesting way to go about developing a player, of taking the player out of the game to work on their development. Does that make sense to you in certain circumstances to do it that way?
No, not really. But obviously it's had hopefully benefits for him, and he's been an amazing player to start his career. It's not something I would have thought to do, and but sounds like, and credit to him if he was able to take that kind of instruction during the season and put it into play. I only say that because I've always just been a big believer in the game being a teacher, and there being no like replacement for just playing the game and learning from everything that it has to offer. But he's had an incredible year and pretty impressive power from an infielder.
I credit him, too, because I know that my ego would have been crushed. Like it like, because this was a real deal prospect, and for him to have to go below A-ball to basically to start over again and then make it back to the major leagues, I don't know if I would have had the guts to be able to pull that off. So I'm impressed by the fact that he didn't allow it to change him in a way that would have maybe forced him to not be playing baseball at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's always challenging as a player that, you know, you're already on a good track and you have the skill set that's valuable, but learning to improve while also holding on to the things that have gotten you in the first place. We've talked about that before, but it's a challenging thing, and I think we're always kind of battling with that as players and looking to improve, but staying consistent. And so, yeah, credit to him for being able to make adjustments and letting it play at the highest level. It's really impressive.
Nico, what's the funniest thing that has happened in your clubhouse this month? Give us a good story. I mean, you can go back farther than this month if you need to, but I was trying to give it some parameters. There's always funny stuff going on in the baseball clubhouse.
Yeah, I feel like the fantasy football season always brings about some good stuff.
I heard guys fight over that. In baseball.
Yeah, it's been
I
good.
Heard you could
it's
get swung good. On if things go sideways in fantasy football.
Yeah, that might have been a little bit of a higher stakes league than we got going on. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. Jameson Taillon's always getting people laughing. Justin Turner's on the mic, on the bus. He does a good job. Kevin Alcantara's outfit to the field was definitely a group effort. He wore a Jaguar print.
I saw that.
I guess you'd call it a set, or a, it wasn't quite a suit. It was a two-piece outfit, and that got a little coverage. That was definitely that was well received. Yeah,
I'm glad you guys are having a good time, and I'm glad that the season has gone so well for you, both from a team and a personal perspective. Thanks for being on yet again. We look forward to talking to you next week, and good luck tonight.
All right, thank you guys. Well,
more than good luck. Appreciate 5 for 5 tonight.
Five Arby's, yeah, baby. Yeah.
Five
Arby's.
For five tonight. You got to catch Trey Turner, or what are we doing?
That's right. We got to get our guy Nico a batting title.
Yeah,
that's what we're about. Thanks, Nico.
All right, thank you guys.
See you, man.
That is Nico Horner, and he's excellent. I just love that guy, man. He was so
fun.
Great.
He was really fun and interesting,
yeah. And engaged.
Yeah,
I mean,
I see why you like him. Yeah.
On another day, we actually should, you know, once the Cubs thing is over, and I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks when the Bears thing is over, we actually should examine the Colson Montgomery thing, like really do a deep dive on it, because it took a lot of guts for the White Sox to actually try it, and it's amazing that so far it has worked out amazingly well.
I think it makes sense.
I do,
too. I know it doesn't fit. It's not, like, normal, and I get Nico's response to it. It's intuitive to me, though. I feel, and maybe that's because I'm not in it. I don't know what it's like. I'm not a pro baseball player, and I make the mistake that a lot of people make where they sit there and try to apply it to their own job and to normal jobs. And I feel like anybody would benefit from, hey, just take a week, sit back, learn a couple skills here, watch some things that you could improve, and then come back a little bit better.
It's what people say in sports all the time. We're going to strip it down to the studs. We're going to go all the way back, and we're going to figure all this. The White Sox actually did it. The White Sox were like, you need a break. Let's go give you a break, and then let's just start at the beginning. Let's go hit off of a tee again. Let's do all of this stuff, and it is counterintuitive. You are 100% right, and so far, it's worked.
It's intuitive to me. It's
to the game. It's
really an aberration in professional sports.
I agree wholeheartedly.
It's what Bears fans yell for them to do with the quarterback about halfway through every season, no matter who it is.
I mean,
what if we try? That's how desperate it gets. What if we try? Mitch sits out for 4 weeks. What if we try? Justin sits out for 4 weeks.
And we're getting close to people asking about the other guy sitting for 4 weeks.
You know, just to study,
just to see how it goes. See if he can learn from Tyson.
See if
Bajan.
He can learn from Tyson Bajan.
Yep, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, Matt Ford. Forte is going to join us. We got a lot of questions for him about what happened on Sunday and his thoughts as a professional. Next, here on The Score.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.